Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Game week Eagle Hour. That was a great start. Hello. Game week Eagle Hour. And we're glad you're with us. Opening segment of the show sponsored today by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, proud supporters of Southern Miss, and of course, great friends of ours. We're broadcasting the Eagle Hour from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Bob Kelly and Dima, we got a full show for you today. Former quarterback Lee Roberts going to be joining us later. Kentucky play-by-play announcer Tom Leach, is that correct, Kelly, will be on the show. But first, we're going to go to an old friend of ours who I'm sure by now lays in the bed at night and cries. He misses me and Kelly so badly. Luke Johnson, newest member of the M Club Hall of Fame, longtime host of the show here, and, of course, a close friend of ours. And on a scale of 1 to 10, Luke, you miss us like 9, 10, 11. What would it be?
I mean, if we go with fractions, it could be as high as an 8.5, depending on the day.
Well, I didn't expect a number that high. Good for us.
Well, I think he's just meeting for Bob. I don't know what he thinks about you.
Well, he was just impressed with how I handled the opening of the show today.
The aggregates of the polls, right. I guess.
Well, we're always happy to have you on the show. We do miss you, Luke. I'm not going to lie. We do. But we're glad you're going to be with us on a regular basis starting today and going to analyze football games for us. So, it's game week, man. We're, 3 days away. Give us your feel, first of all, Luke, for how you think things may go.
Well, I mean, it is game week. I mean, it's we've been waiting for it for quite some time, and it's upon us. It seems like not being on the Eagle Hour every day, week one snuck up on me. You know, I watched the week zero game that was in Ireland, and I was like, oh, wow, college football's here. So, yeah, I mean, this is do or die for the Golden Eagles this year with Coach Hall, and you know, he told us 2 years ago that he thought that we would be really good in year three, and now for year four, and I think he told us in the spring, you know, that they just said probably a year off now, and when you look at the talent though, this is obviously the most talented Southern Miss team that's been in that locker room, obviously since Will Hall's been here. I do think what makes this team different a little bit offensively is that I think they will move the football a whole lot better. And Dima can speak on this. You guys have been at practice too. The offensive line seems improved. You have a real high percentage thrower with Tate Rodemaker, with Ethan Crawford's ability, and some of the other than the secondary, some of the question marks have kind of filled in. I'm particularly excited to see what the wide receiver core does because of what they've shown throughout preseason.
Yeah, Luke, when you look at a team like Kentucky, and you know you start the season. I feel like this game reminds me a lot of the 2022 season when they went to Miami, right? And they played that Miami squad who, you know, they had some talent on that team. I think they were ranked like number 15. You know, this game reminds me a lot of that. And it feels like the typical Southern Miss close at halftime, then Kentucky starts to pull away. You know, but I feel like that would be a victory if Southern Miss can, you know, I know they're not looking for moral wins, obviously, but we have to be realistic here. And like, you know, if they can keep the game close, and because I really feel like they feel like they have a chance to win.
I do feel like this offense will move the football no matter who they're playing. And so it'll be real interesting to see. Chip Long's familiar, right? He at Louisville last year, he went against this same team in Week 12. Yes. Kentucky pulled out a 7-point win in a rival game that can go either way. But, I mean, Chip Long knows Louisville. So I think they will. Now I think they will move the football. The question for me is, again, for the last 3 years, the Achilles heel of this offense has been red zone scoring opportunities, particularly inside the 10. And so if Southern Miss is able to get inside the red zone early in the first half or a few times in the first half, they better cash in with touchdowns. Because if you look up, you may have had three trips on that side of the field. If you come away with 6 points or 3 points or even 9 points, you're still going to be playing behind the eight ball. I would later on, you guys, as you talk to a Kentucky's play-by-play announcer, I'd be interested to see what he says about the quarterback transfer from Georgia, right? Vandegrift?
Yes, Georgia.
Dima is the guy that transferred in. I think
five-star
transfer really, really
from
good.
Georgia. Yeah, five-star transfer from Georgia.
And so that's going to be up front where the secondary is just going to have to strap on. And that's a really, really good guy. It is interesting, though. I don't know if you guys have looked at the Kentucky schedule, but with the way the SEC does it, they're in conference play next week at home against South Carolina, and then they take on the Georgia Bulldogs on September 14th. Maybe that's where their attention is, and the Eagles can get on them early. I do think they will. Chip Long's offense will move the football, but it's cashing in, and it is getting pressure from the defensive line to try to help out the secondary.
I'll let you go really quickly. I do not think that they are going to be looking ahead to South Carolina, Georgia, and the only reason I don't think that is because of what happened last time Southern Miss played in Lexington. I do not view them to take Southern Miss lightly.
Luke, College Football America this morning put out their projections for all of the Division I football teams. They have Southern Miss winning only two games this...
Oh, my word.
Charlie Brown's teacher again. Those two would be Southeastern Louisiana and Louisiana Monroe. Based on what Will Hall has told us and based on what you just said, somebody's not doing their homework here. How can a team that's this talented be universally
I'm not buying that.
So getting such little respect across the boards?
Well, I mean, they're going to have to prove it. I mean, you've had three wins, two out of the last three seasons. So, yeah, I was a little surprised that at two, I mean, Louisiana, you've beat them the last 13 times. You get Arkansas State at home. You get Marshall at home. And who knows what South Alabama and Troy are going to be. So the win total is really a toss-up. It sounds real elementary. It is. Let me take it a little deeper, though. It's how you play and how everybody else plays. But it's how you are against everybody else and what they have. And so Texas State, I think, is one of the best teams on the schedule conference-wise. James Madison might be the second best team on the schedule. And so what's going to happen with Troy and South Alabama? So as tough as the schedule can look on paper, if you get out of the last the first four 2-2, I think there's a path to six, and in Bob Getty's words, seven wins.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the first five games are crucial. And I think you got to win. I think, Luke, if after five games, that would include that road trip to Jacksonville, right, Dima?
Yes.
If you came out of that 3-2, you'd be set up pretty good for the rest of the season, yes?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think Southern Miss fans need to understand that they don't need to react to the South Florida game the way they're going to react to the Jacksonville State game. And you need to understand that South Florida is a top group of five team. And this was the offensive coordinator from – we'll talk more about it, I know, in a couple weeks. But this is Josh Heupel's OC. They got a real good quarterback. They got a real good running back. And I think that in Jacksonville State on the road, yeah. But I think the South Florida game on paper should be viewed as a tougher game than Jack State.
I agree with that, and I've definitely said that. But I think the flip side of the coin, Luke, is – let's just say, Southern Miss starts out 3-1 against those non-conference. They do beat South Florida at home at night. That feels like a pretty big game. That would be a huge win for the university. Then you go and beat Jacksonville State. If you look at the next three games, and this is obviously best case scenario, you get Louisiana at home after a bye, so you get a week and a half to prepare for them. So if you feel like you could win that game, you're 4-1. You play ULM on the road, you're 5-1. You get Arkansas State at home for homecoming, which feels winnable. You know, it'd be difficult, but it's winnable. You have a chance, best case scenario, to be 6-1 headed to James Madison.
I was just I thought that the one loss was to Jack State and not Kentucky. That's the way that I interpreted that.
Yeah, I'm saying that the one loss is to Kentucky. And
I'm messing with you. I totally agree. And one thing we should keep in mind down the stretch is the week that Southern Miss is off between Jack State and Louisiana has to play Wake Forest.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Hey, Luke. Great to have you back on the show, man. We're going to look forward to having a conversation with you every Tuesday, my friend.
Great. Through this conversation, we may have gone up to an 8.75.
There we go. All right, Luke Johnson, everybody. Glad to have Luke back on. When we come back, Tom Leach does the play-by-play for the Wildcats. We're going to hear what he says about Saturday night's game next.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, our thanks to Luke Johnson coming on in the first segment of the program. Still to come, former quarterback Lee Roberts does a color analysis for Golden Eagle football. This segment of the program is sponsored by Campus Bookmart, where everyone goes to get their Southern Miss apparel. If you're listening in other parts of the state this afternoon or online later today, you can go to campusbookmart.net, and they will deliver your swag right to your front door. And don't forget, Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast is available on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and as of today, YouTube. You can also tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. When they kick it off Saturday night, it will be the 28th year that our next guest has called Kentucky Wildcat football. So who better to talk to about the Wildcats in 2024 than Tom Leach? And Tom, we're happy to have you on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Thank you, sir.
Glad to join you. It's exciting to get this thing rolling again.
Oh, really? We're all tired of football practice. I'm sure that that's the same way there in Kentucky.
Nothing to talk, no games to talk about.
No, exactly.
That's right.
We had a beat writer tell us last week, I guess, was on the program, and that many thought this was maybe the best Kentucky football team you guys have put on the field. How do you analyze the 2024 squad?
Well, I'd say it's potentially the best defense. Probably the 2018 group was the best defense, the one that this one would be measured against if it's as good as we think it is. As far as the best team, that's still to be determined because there are so many questions on the offensive side. A new coordinator, new quarterback, lost their best running back. So I think it's too soon to say it's potentially the best team. I guess everybody's potentially the best version of themselves at this time of year, but we'll have to see how it plays out.
Tom, I'm sure this is Kelly Sander. I'm sure the Wildcats are shaking in their paws, not wanting 2000
shaking in their paws. That's good.
Okay, well,
there we go.
There that the Golden Eagles would come up there and do what they did to the Cats in Lexington in 2016. But my point is they're not going to overlook this Southern Miss team.
Wouldn't think so. They shouldn't. It was a
good. I know you guys are coming off a tough season, but there's a lot of good history there. I mean, obviously Kentucky got stung in 16, and it was a real battle to win down in Hattiesburg in 17. And then, you know, obviously Brett Favre and you know, some other great players that have played there. So, yeah, I mean, Kentucky should take it very seriously, because that game in 16, they got a 35. I was just looking at the box score earlier this week, 35-10, and ended up losing 44-35. And ironically, you just never know how a season is going to turn out. They were blown out the next week at Florida, and then turned that season around, and it ended up being Stoops' first bowl team, amazingly.
Well, and you talked about Brett Favre, you know, as a famous quarterback at Southern Miss, but one of the headline makers there in Lexington has been your five-star transfer from Georgia. Tell us about your signal caller on Saturday night.
Yeah, Brock Vandegrift has been the number one understudy, if you will, at Georgia behind Stetson Bennett and Carson Beck, waiting to get his turn. Former five-star recruit that originally committed to Oklahoma, then switched to Georgia, and he's just been not quite good enough to win the job against older guys at Georgia. So rather than sit and wait for another year for fate or something else to intervene, he decided to transfer and enter the portal and come to play at Kentucky, which needed a quarterback. So he gets to make his first start in this game. And so there's a lot of anticipation here for that. There's just not much to go on in terms of his track record at this level, but Kentucky fans saw Will Levis come in from Penn State in a situation that was similar in that he was buried on a depth chart that he just, you know, couldn't get out of the hole, and he transferred and blossomed into a guy who became an NFL draft pick. And then last year, Devin Leary came in from NC State for a one-year stint, and it didn't work as well as it did for Will, but you know, Vandegrift's got 2 years like Levis had, so I think Kentucky fans are hoping it works out similarly to the way it did with Levis, but we'll see. But there's a lot of you know, excitement and hope that all of this potential that's long been there for Brock Vandegrift gets realized now that he gets a chance to get on the field.
Tom, I watched this is Diva Mixon, by the way. I watched Mark Stoops' press conference on Monday. And he talked in detail about that loss to Southern Miss in 2016. It seems like ever since then, he's put together, I think it's, you guys have gone to a bowl game every single year since then. And so he's put together these great seasons. And I asked a Kentucky beat writer this question last week. It seems like you put together these good seasons, but you just can't get over the top and beat the Georgias and beat the Alabamas. And that's kind of what's holding the program back. What about this team maybe can do that? Because if you look at you guys' schedule, I mean, it hits you right immediately when you play Georgia at home in 2 weeks, and then you go to Ole Miss and Florida and Tennessee and Texas.
Well, two things. It starts for Kentucky, it starts with the defense. And if they are indeed as good as those of us that are following the Wildcats believe that they are, then they should be able to keep them in games and against no matter who they're playing, and at least give the team a chance to get a win in the fourth quarter. And then what will tell the tale is if the defense is indeed that good, what will tell the tale of what their season is like is how good can they get offensively? Can they take care of the football? Those kinds of things. The other thing with that game in 16 where Southern Miss came here and won, out of that is kind of where the identity of the Mark Stoops era really started to crystallize, because they had a hotshot young quarterback from here in Kentucky that threw four touchdown passes in the first half against Southern Miss, and then it fell apart in the second half, and then he got hurt the next week, and they had to go to the backup. He was ultimately it was a career-ending injury. I take that back. It was he got hit hard the next week, and then the following week against New Mexico State, he went out early with what was a career-ending injury. And they went to the backup, and a guy named Benny Snell emerged to eventually become the all-time leading rusher here. And they it turned out had an outstanding offensive line, and they developed this reputation of just a physical, power-running football team that could hit some big passes, and they've, you know, polished that up to where they won 10 games in 18 and won 10 again in 21. And, you know, out of that loss to Southern Miss is kind of, I think the thought was they were going to move toward a more wide open passing attack, and they ended up being a power running team by the end of that season. And that's kind of the identity that I think they've remained with for the most part. Maybe got away from it a little bit the last couple of years, part of that being the offensive line hadn't been as good. And I think that's what they want to get back to this year, is being a team that's very physical.
Tom, you've been around 27 years, and I think it's fair to say with your storied basketball program, for many years the country looks at Kentucky as a basketball school. But how much has Coach Stoops and his success been able to overcome that with the Kentucky media and the Kentucky fan base and bring that same level of enthusiasm to football?
They have had the most success far and away in men's basketball historically. And so that is certainly the perception that, you know, it is a basketball school nationally. But some longtime observers around here would tell you that if Kentucky can take it to that, I mean, Mark Stoops has got it to a level probably higher than it's been since the 50s when Bear Bryant was here. And if they can indeed build on that, that there is every bit as much passion here for football. Yeah. And then I think you saw it with the baseball program this spring. Right. They got to the right. College World Series for the first time and had tremendous right. crowds. So the folks around UK like to say it is a wildcat state first and foremost.
There you go. All right, well, about a minute left. What, in a nutshell, does Kentucky have to do, in your mind, to handle Southern Miss Saturday night?
Well, I think it would probably start with not shooting themselves in the foot with turnovers. That's how you get in trouble. I mean, Kentucky's obviously a solid favorite, but that's how you get in trouble, is you turn the ball over in a matchup like this. And to make sure that they're not, you know, you get a lot of guys on offense, starting with the quarterback, that it's a big deal. I mean, it's his first start. To just keep the emotions in check, not to get, you know, too excited and allow it to affect the execution. So those kind of things, I think, are, you know, important for Kentucky, and then they would hope certainly the defense is as good as advertised.
All right, I heard you say you've invited Kelly Sander on your show Friday. I just want you to understand now that the Super Talk Eagle Hour does not accept any responsibility for something he might say, Tom. So I just want you to be aware of that.
And I that disclaimer out there.
That disclaimer is there.
And Tom, I am up to date on my fines with the FCC. So
this month he's good, Tom. So go ahead.
What about the SEC?
Yeah, well, he's been fined by them as well.
You never know what clothes he'll wear when he shows up on your show.
Yes, exactly. It's not televised, I hope. So. That'll be good. That's where we try to keep him. All right, Tom, thank you very much. We really do appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Wildcats after this Saturday. Is that fair to say?
Name to the Golden Eagles.
All right. Tom Leach, everybody. Play-by-play voice of the Kentucky Wildcats. Golden Eagles got their hands full Saturday night, boys.
Boy, right. Kentucky's got to be relieved that they're not having to play Akron, though. You know?
Now that worry falls on Ohio State.
Yeah. Poor Buckeyes.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, our thanks to Kentucky Wildcat play-by-play man Tom Leach. Want to remind you that this program will be on the road Friday. We'll be at 4th Street Bar and Grill to kick off football season. And that'd be a great day for you to come down. Catfish Friday, always the best day of the week at 4th Street Bar and Grill. Also want to thank Mobay Beignet Company, the official beignet store of the Eagle Hour. And Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest vehicles on the road. And you can now visit the all-new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Quick reminder, too, we're now on YouTube. So you can pick our podcast up on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or as of today, YouTube. And, of course, you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Our next guest is a very dear friend of ours, and we say that with total sincerity. We thank the world of Lee Roberts. We're glad to have him back on the show with us every week. He'll be joining us every Monday right after our segment with Coach Hall. So where do you get better analysis of the game than Coach Hall and then Lee Roberts?
And Bob, I hear that he will be a U.S. representative in the next Olympics on our pickleball
team. Yeah, we just heard that you're mean on the pickleball court, that you punish people that challenge you, Lee. Come on, man.
I don't know if I punish people. I have in the game. It's a game that I have picked up and love it. I love it, man. It's been fun.
Well, we're glad he's good at pickleball because he tried out for the Australian breakdancing team.
And didn't make it.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, that stopped in fifth grade. So
he was also not on the unicycle basketball team.
No, yeah. Thank God for that. I don't ever want to hear from that guy again. All right, Lee, it's game week, and we just got off the phone with Tom Leach, who does the play-by-play up there. Dima told me they've got a five-star transfer quarterback from Georgia. Mr. Leach thinks this could be the best defensive team they've ever had. How big a challenge is Saturday night going to be for the Golden Eagles? An improved Golden Eagle team, I think.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think Saturday is going to be one. It is going to be a challenge of who we're playing, where we're playing, and it's the opening season. But it's really going to be a of who are we? Like, are we a team of year one, two, or three? Or have we changed our mindset, and are we going to be a new team and kind of starting a new chapter? You know, I really hope the challenge and the test kind of in hand, and I hope we go there and we play well. I'm not going to make any, you know, comments whether we win or lose. However, I hope we go and play like I think we can. I mean, this is a team that has picked up some people and filled some holes where we needed them. They've had a good spring and a really good fall camp. I know this team is ready to see somebody other than people in the black and gold. And it's a great test. It's a great challenge ahead of us. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Lee, if you can move your cell phone around a little bit, we're getting a little bit of interference, but if you can move it around, we'll see if sometimes that helps. Okay, Will Hall told us this week he's not going to announce a quarterback to the public, but that the team knows who the quarterback is going to be.
I think we all know.
Yeah, irregardless of how that plays out, I think it's fair to say, and Coach didn't even want to comment on this, but I think it's fair to say that we've got two quarterbacks that are going to see a lot of action and be a big part of the offensive scheme. Would you agree with that?
No, I really do. I mean, I think Ethan Crawford, Tate Rodemaker are two guys battling it out. And you know, I just think the announcement hasn't been made because both of these guys they're capable. I mean, Ethan finished the year doing some great things for us. I mean, he was an unselfish player last year, lost his red shirt because he played in that fifth game. You know, and so here's a guy that came back for a sophomore season, wanted to compete. Yeah, a guy transfers in from Florida State, a stud there that we have an opportunity to utilize too. So I think it's two different guys that play two different games, but both players can really, really lead this team. I mean, Rodemaker, a guy that can do a lot of great things with his arm, a tall guy sitting in the pocket. He knows the game. He's smart, can make great decisions. And then Crawford can extend plays with his legs, so more of an athletic quarterback. But two guys that I would be very comfortable if I was Coach Hall.
I'm not sure how much you've researched on Kentucky. I'm sure a good bit. But Deion Walker on the defensive line, projected top five NFL draft pick on that defensive line. He's a monster, 6'6", 345 junior from Michigan. But, you know, Southern Miss with that offensive line, that rebuilt offensive line. We talked to Dante Lucas today, and he was saying going up against a guy like Walker only makes that unit better. And I think, you know, obviously the first question is, you know, how big of a test is that for that offensive line just right off the bat, but also past Saturday, going up against probably the best defensive line they'll face, that can only make them even better than what we think they're already going to be.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I mean, this defensive front and this really defense for Kentucky is going to be really stout, really strong. Coach Hall said that this is a team that's they're big and they're long, they're athletic, and you got a guy like Walker that's up front. I mean, this is a guy that can do a lot of great things. He can fight through the double teams, which that's going to have to be part of our game plan as well. So for our offensive line, we're more experienced at that position. We've got some guys that have transferred in. I feel like the depth has been good there. We're stronger. We're leaner. We're guys that can move as well. How well do we know the offense? How well are we going to produce the offense? We'll see Saturday. But, yeah, I think Deion Walker, he's going to be a challenge up front all night long.
But, see, I think that's where the game's going to be won, Lee Roberts, is on the defensive front. You got two teams that are pretty similar. Southern Miss, you know, brags about its defensive front with all the SEC experience there. Kentucky, they say that that's been their bread and butter. And you've got quarterbacks under new teams now, so whichever defensive line can make life more miserable for the opposing team's quarterback, I think could well tell the tale in this game.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, yeah, defense for Southern Miss has always been, you know, kind of where we've talked about. I mean, we want to get back to that nasty bunch type play. I feel like this unit could be that team. And up front, the defensive line, I mean, we're experienced, we're athletic. We've got a lot of guys that we can plug holes, we can get after quarterbacks as well. And so, yeah, I think we can kind of match the similar play there of Kentucky. You're right, it'll happen up front. Whose offensive line is going to be better protecting the young quarterbacks? And yeah, I mean, Kentucky's got three different guys that really haven't played a snap there. Kentucky, we've got a new guy as well in Rodemaker. So a lot of play is going to be up front in that offensive line.
So don't you? So isn't it fair to say though that because of that maybe, and to try to lengthen the game as it were, to implement more rushing attempts maybe this week than perhaps others, just to keep the game settled, if you will, and let guys get some more reps and let their hair down a little bit getting into the season?
I mean, I think you could say that. I mean, we have two guys at running back, too, that are, you know, vying for playing time. I mean, both of those guys played behind Frank Gore Jr. last year. So, yeah, they're wanting some totes. But I think that our new offense is going to be an offense that kind of gets guys out on the perimeter in space, whether it's, you know, stretching a run play or kind of getting a toss out or some quick hitters to the wide receivers. So I think it's going to be really trying to stretch the field to really, you know, kind of disable that offense, that defensive front for Kentucky.
And actually, Dima, you've talked about the defense that Kentucky runs, that it's pretty favorable for the Southern Miss offense with the defense beyond the defensive front that Kentucky runs.
Yeah, so they run a lot in the box, and so I feel like with the way that Chip Long likes to run his offense, especially in screen games and, you know, slot receiver passes and running the ball in the ways they do, really could be a challenge for that Kentucky defense in a way that's hard to communicate well, especially in the first week. You know, maybe in the third or fourth week it's easier, but first week there's still some woes. And so I think that, to me, and Lee, you can comment on this, Chip Long's ability to kind of create so much movement, so much communication that's forced to happen on the defensive side of the front could give Kentucky's defensive strategy some things to work out. I can get the word out.
Yeah, I mean, I and that's what you hope as a Southern Miss fan, that is the case. And obviously that's what Coach Long is really wanting to go in, is to really be a master of what we do, but yes, show them so much that maybe make some confusing part on their part as well. And so we can hopefully gash a run here, there, a small pass turn into big yards as well. So that's kind of what you hope, obviously what Coach Long wants to do. So yeah, I mean, just stretching the field, putting the ball in your playmaker's hands and letting them make plays.
And fair to say, defensively, you just want to keep Kentucky in front of you. You don't want to give up any long plays behind your defensive secondary.
You know, and that's kind of been, I think, the weakest part of our right. team is that safety position. You've got some guys that have moved around. So, yeah, you want to keep guys in front. We're going to play a little more zone defense than we've played in the past, and so a little bit of a different look. But, yeah, we're athletic in the back end, but we're just going to have guys make some plays and really not let anybody over the top. And, you know, if we can do that, put pressure on their quarterback, I really feel like our defense will be, you know, come out with a win, but overall look at what we want to do and accomplish that. So defensively, putting pressure on the quarterback and really stopping the big play.
Hey, Lee, we really look forward to having you back on the show every Monday. Take it easy on everybody out at the pickleball court. I was a little surprised to hear how competitive you still are.
Hey, come on. You got to have a little bit of competitive juice still. I'm never going to let that go.
Yeah, but beating Sister Carmelita in straight sets, you know, that's...
Yes, I know. I agree.
She deserved it. She deserved it.
Yeah, Sister Carmelita. She's an animal, all right. Yeah.
Thanks, Lee. We'll talk to you, buddy, brother.
Thank you.
All right, sounds good.
Lee.
Yeah, you ask some of these guys to back off. That ain't happening, right?
Well, he's pretty good.
That's
huh?
one of their Division I athletes.
You know? He's really, really good.
We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, and we're glad you are. Bob, Kelly, and Dima, we're in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg, Southern Bancorp in Midtown. Great place, of course, to do all of your banking. We really appreciate those guys. This segment sponsored by DBAT on Hardy Street, right up the road from Southern Bancorp, a state-of-the-art baseball and softball training facility for kids of every age, and just a great place to take your children if they're involved in those sports and you want them to be the best they can be. Step one might very well be to set up a training program for them at DBAT on Hardy Street, and Luke Reynolds is the manager. He can hook you up. All right, last segment of the day. That's when we catch up on news and notes. Mr. Dima Mixon.
Yeah, we got a good little segment here. So first and foremost, in conference news, TJ Finley transferred out of Texas State after they named their starting quarterback, and he transferred to Western Kentucky. And TJ Finley is now the starting quarterback at Western Kentucky per, I think, yesterday, right? They announced that. So,
and they've got a big opening game. I know Western Kentucky's jumping right into the battle right away. So,
yeah.
You know, it's funny when you're listening to Tom earlier, the voice of the Wildcats, talk about, well, the quarterback was at North Carolina State, and last year he was at Georgia, and this is going to be –
the new world, my man.
It is the standard modus operandi nowadays. You're never going to see anybody at one school too long,
right? And what's funny about Finley, you know, you mentioned Western Kentucky. They're playing at Alabama to open the season. Finley from Auburn, you know, who played against Alabama in 2000. I guess that would be 21. In other news, USA Today is out with their predictions for the Sun Belt. Per yesterday, they have Appalachian State and Troy meeting in the Sun Belt title game, which I don't know how you get there, but yeah. Kelly is beside himself.
That's ridiculous.
Troy.
Go ahead, Beamer.
And they have Southern Miss 5-7 and 3-5 finishing second to last in the West.
So when you look at all these prognostications, all these different magazines, I mean, I don't know why we don't write a magazine. We could be just as accurate as some. You know, you got College Football America, as we talked earlier in this program, projects Southern Miss at 2-10.
That's crazy.
All right, you've got 5-7. I've seen them as high as 7-5. You know, I mean, this thing is wide open. And where is Texas State in all this? They've been the sexy pick all year long, and they don't even show up. And
Texas State is projected here at 7-5, which I guess that means they just have them losing to Troy. But don't they get that game at home? Like, how do you pick Texas State to lose to Troy at home?
And a brand new team at Troy, a brand new coaching staff. I don't get it.
I really think that's people just being lazy and just filling out by the teams they know. I mean, honestly.
And South Al, at least you could say with Major Applewhite taking the step up from offensive coordinator to head coach, at least he was already there.
Yeah.
Right? So there's not as big a transition. But Troy lost about everybody, including the coaching staff.
USA Today has four teams in the West under 500, and then they have three teams in the East under 500. Yeah. So – All right, on to Frank Gore Jr., who we mentioned yesterday was having a great day at Bills on the Bills preseason game. The word on the street is that he will be told today he will not make the roster, the 53-man roster, but potentially on the practice report, according to this report right here. They said it's almost inevitable that he will not make the 53-man roster, but potentially get onto the practice squad, which is the same for Swayze Bozeman at the Chiefs, who we also talked about yesterday.
But that just goes to show you, if you're not drafted, I mean, what more could Frank Gore possibly do to make that team? And, Bob, you talked about Danny Ratman, the place kicker years ago, that went to Steelers training camp and did everything he was asked, including going 7-for-7 in preseason.
He made every field goal in the preseason, and they cut him on this day. And I remember asking him, so, Danny, how did they explain that to you? And he laughed. He goes, they don't explain anything. They told me to clean my locker up.
And probably used a few colorful words in there as well.
I don't think there's a lot of love and, you know, patting on the back and it's going to be okay, son.
And you would think, honestly, that these unrestricted free agents would be the guys that you'd want to sign because you could get them financially for a song and a dance.
Well, you know, if these guys make the practice squad.
Here we go. Breaking news. Frank Gore Jr. is cut by the Bills. As of 7 minutes ago.
Did he make the practice squad, or did they say?
Well, they'll go through the cut process today. They got to clear waivers tomorrow, and then there'll be then.
So it's possible another team could step in and pick up a cut player.
Yes, right? but I know there was real intrigue in Buffalo because it'd be the first time I think in NFL history that one team would have had a father and a son not on the same team at the same time.
He rushed 400 yards this past weekend.
He was actually the highest graded rookie in the NFL over the preseason.
Well, then maybe somebody else picks him up.
You hope so.
Yeah, let's just hope it's not the Commodores. We wouldn't want to see him have to do that.
Or the Bengals.
Yeah, the Bengals.
No, well, if he doesn't want to go to the Super Bowl, then, you know.
He
should get on the Bengals.
I'm being facetious. I'm saying he would want to go to the Super Bowl, which is why
I'd rather be on the Bengals than the Commodores. Let me assure you of that.
Are you talking about Vanderbilt again? See, you start this thing with the Washington Commanders being the Commodores. And again, I keep picturing Lionel Richie with his Jerry curl, you know,
crazy.
At the piano.
All right.
We digress.
Right. Thanks, Luke Johnson, Tom Leach, and Lee Roberts. That was fun talking to those guys today. Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thanks for listening, as always. Until tomorrow, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.